Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 368 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on tonight's show, well, we're going to give you an idea of what we've been working on. As you know, Disney Plus has been out for about a year now, and it's been doing great. One of the best shows on it is The Mandalorian, and we are all about Star Wars right after we're all about Disney, of course. And what we've done is kind of about, I'd say about 2 months ago, Sam put together this great idea, and we are now doing a Star Wars show in addition to our Disney shows. So if you have a chance, I'd like you to check out Womp Rat Radio. You remember those Womp Rats from Tatooine? Luke used to be able to get those in Beggar's Canyon. Well, we used him as our logo, and Womp Rat Radio is up and running. We've done 4 shows so far, and their format's a little different from the podcast, a little different from the live show. We are doing a live show version of it. However, Sam has been doing a lot of great homework behind the scenes. So we have video clips to look at and discuss. We have different charts and basically anything that will help us discuss what's going on in the Star Wars universe. We talk all about Star Wars in this podcast, but of course, with The Mandalorian going on right now in season 2, we are concentrating a little bit on that. So what I'm going to do for tonight's show is I'm going to give you a review. So for tonight's show, I'm going to give you a preview of what Womp Rat Radio is all about. For the most part, there's 4 hosts, and when we get together, it is Star Wars Bedlam. We go all out and have a great time with it. I got to tell you, the enthusiasm for Star Wars is as equal as it is for Disney for all of us. And that's so, so cool. You'll know some of the names and some of the voices. For the hosts, we have Sam, of course, I just mentioned. He leads our crew over there at Womp Rat Radio. Jimmy and I both are on there with him when we can get there. And Stan Solo is our extra. Stan Solo is a 4th member of our team, and he's been with us since the beginning of Womp Rat Radio. And we also did an interview with Stan, basically discussing all his Star Wars-ness. Now, the man's name is Stan Solo. How can you not be a Star Wars fan with that name? And Stan's really great, knowledgeable about anything Star Wars. And to be honest with you, all 4 of us, we really go to town on Star Wars. Sometimes it's a little ad nauseum, but you take that with a grain of salt because it all fits in. We discuss a lot of the new theories. We discuss some of the old theories and everything in between. A very, very, very fun show. I love to do it. Comes out about every 2 weeks. You can check out WompRatRadio.com, or you can check out the Disney Nerds Podcast because we've got links all over the place. Okay, guys. I don't want to wait any longer. I want to bring you Womp Rat Radio. Take it away, Sam, Jimmy, Stan, and Ed. That's me. Talk to you later, guys. Enjoy.
You're listening to WRRT, Womp Rat Radio, Tatooine.
Os Eisley Spaceport. You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Impressive. Most impressive. You are not a Jedi yet.
The Force is what gives the Jedi his power.
I love you.
I know.
It binds the galaxy together.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
No disintegrations.
As you wish.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Womp Rat Radio. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary and the Disney Nerds Podcast. We're talking Mandalorian tonight, and standing by with me. I'm starting with Red Nine, standing by. Red Nine, what is up, Jimmy?
Red Nine, standing by.
I was waiting for that, man. I love it. I love it. Mr. Solo, Stan Solo, what's happening?
Red Fox, standing by. I'm awesome.
And Ed, what's up? I love that Red Fox standing
hey
by.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
It is great. And I'm not going to be outdone by Jim and his helmet there because I'm going to put mine. We got so, oh, no, I have to take these off, folks. When I can do it. Those of you watching, thank you very much. Can I do this? Can you hear me still? I think this is pretty cool.
Nice. Be careful with that targeter.
Careful with the targeter. It does blink, which is kind of cool about that. That's the Black Series, just like Jimmy's. But we're going to be talking about this helmet quite a bit here as we talk Mandalorian. So how's everybody doing, man? Season two started. It's been great.
Doing great. Doing well.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't say, spoilers there be ahead.
Oh, spoilers there be lots ahead. So if you haven't seen, although, you know, like we always do before we jump into Mando, there has been a little bit of news, so I thought we'd start with that. And in fact, when I look at this logo, Womp Rat Radio, that Womp Rat in the middle there, I spent so much time looking for a Womp Rat. I had to find that one from a video game, but I think we got some real clear pictures of Womp Rats in this latest episode of Mandalorian, so we'll get back to that. Right. All right, so some news. Hey, Bradley, and thank you guys for watching us live. That's awesome that you can join us. I don't know if the three of you have seen this, but some news that came out yesterday around holiday specials. Did you see that Disney Plus is going to be launching a Star Wars Lego holiday special? Did you guys see this?
Hardly wait for this.
Yeah, I did see that.
All right, so I had to bring with me, there's a trailer for this, so we're going to watch it, and I want to see what you guys think. It's only a minute and a half long, but come on, man, this is Star Wars Legos. If there's anyone here that's into the Star Wars Legos, you guys know I got that. There's my latest two to the collection.
If you're a geek, it's Lego Star Wars. Everything it's with Lego Star Wars. Lego first, yeah. It's never... Yeah,
no, you're absolutely right. Yeah. And by the way, I do have... Yes. Here next to me, this is the advent calendar. And in the middle of that advent calendar is this person that I don't know who this is with the sweater. That person's like featured in this holiday special.
Got to zoom in more.
Hold on. We'll see him because he's right there in the center.
Oh,
of
there
trailer.
We go.
That guy right there.
Oh, wow.
'Twas the night before Life Day.
Life Day.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Looking good. Tree, food, decorations.
Coming together, heroes were, to celebrate the day.
Please be a cape. Please be a cape.
It's a wrap!
For Rey, adventure called, and she thought it would be fast. Wow. But there she found a key to the galaxy's past.
Sorry. Master Luke, what are you doing?
This is so cool! We've seen my master. My master's master.
Concentrate.
My master's father.
Impressive.
My master's father's master.
Emperor Palpatine? I don't believe it.
You think maybe you could put a shirt on?
It's a key to travel across.
That was Kylo.
Yeah. I will change to the future.
So sure are you.
Mm-hmm. Less talky-talky, more fighty-fighty.
Hold races.
Jeez.
Oh, double jeez.
Oh. So cute.
Yahoo! Ooh, gimme, gimme, gimme. Galaxy's best emperor. Meh.
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Music.
A time of joy. This is
Ray.
A friendship. A family.
Who are you guys?
Master Skywalker.
My son. I mean, these binary sons.
Unta unta solos?
You want to shoot first?
After you.
I love the unta unta solos, like two solos. I thought that was great.
That was pretty cool.
That was not at all what I was expecting.
It's not. It's some space travel, and they bring all these different galaxies together. I'll watch it clearly with it's for everybody, right? I'm sure there's lots. I love the Admiral Ackbar reference in there.
But kept Life Day. They kept the actual holiday.
Life Day is the holiday, which is awesome. Yeah, that's good. So that was one big piece of news we got that streams on November 17th, which isn't that far away, which is crazy. Another big thing out there, you guys might not be that big on it, but maybe Jimmy, some Force jewelry was just launched. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I dig it. No, the guy in the Christmas sweater was Poe Dameron, Sam.
Is it Poe?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
All right. I wasn't sure, but that's cool. I'm good with it because I that makes complete sense. He's right there, and that's awesome. Awesome. So how about the jewelry here? Some Yoda stuff. But I got to tell you, I love this R2-D2 ring and the C-3PO ring. I think they're cool. Or the Mandalorian ring.
But would your wife wear any of that?
No, but I'd wear that Mandalorian ring.
Yeah, I would wear that too, but I don't know what the black one is. What is that supposed to be?
I don't know if it's sort of a Vader thing, or I'm not sure. This is all part of the latest high-end jewelry series, which is interesting to say the least. But lots of data on that at StarWars.com. They also launched some part of Mando Mondays, the HasLab, which is Hasbro's lab, a new Razor Crest that looks so detailed. It's absolutely phenomenal.
So is this like a pre-order thing like they normally do for HasLab, or is this going to be available?
I believe it's pre-order right now, but lots of data on it over. This is part of the Star Wars Vintage Collection, so it comes with the vintage packaging. But look at the Mando here. Look at the details. And the child there. It's this I could get into for a long, long time.
That didn't match. That the child wasn't out of the cocoon in that scene. I'm sorry. I'm being technical. He was laying back. It was only a hand.
He was. But you know what? With that, I'm guessing you could put him in there any way you want. He's in his little crate behind him there. There's some good stuff there.
Is the all part of shift knob removable?
You know what? That's a great question.
That would be a great.
That thing would get lost for sure.
Oh, for sure.
And by the way, all part of this whole Mando Monday, and the merchandise has just been from Build-A-Bears to plushes to you name it. It's all out there. There's just tons of stuff.
30 years from that, a little shift knob would be worth a fortune because all of it, like, if you had one with the shift knob, it would be like worth way more because, you know,
Everybody's mom threw it away.
Right.
It got lost, or the cat ate it.
Yeah. The vacuum cleaner. Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see the cat.
Like the little around. Rope on the Death Star that came out in the 70s. I still have the rope, but I'm missing the trash monster.
I get it. All right, so all that's cool, but come on, Chapter 9, the Marshall came out. It's just amazing. And there's so many Easter eggs, guys. I thought it was an awesome first episode. I love that there were callbacks to Mando episodes from first season. There were references to lots of the original trilogy movies and even the prequel trilogy. It's a great episode.
It definitely was. I love how they kept that just Chapter 9 and continued.
Yes.
Yeah.
Story absolutely. Because it's season 2, episode 1, but no, it's Chapter 9. And that's what's awesome about it. Because if you look at the list, it's Chapter 9 through 16 or whatever is the second season. And that's cool.
I mean, it seemed like also they took like the, you know, we talked about this before, it being a space Western, but they really like doubled down on it on this one.
Extra
Western, you know.
They did.
They brought in a guest sheriff. I mean, come on top of that.
Right.
Yeah. Lots of callbacks. So I what I did is I got a whole bunch of sort of images and pictures through this thing. This is the very beginning when he's approaching a city. We don't quite know where he's headed. But just like we said in the last episode, it reminds me of the Lone Ranger. He rolls into the city. Something's wrong. He fixes it. He rolls out at the end onto the next adventure. And that's what's kind of cool. What sure. was cool about this first one was there was graffiti all over the walls wherever they were.
It kind of seemed anti-Empire graffiti, like there'd be stormtroopers with X's through their faces.
Absolutely, Jimmy. That's exactly right. You see a stormtrooper with an X through him. I don't know if they're stormtroopers or if they're clone troopers or if it's a little bit of both. Then there's a protocol droid sticking back there. You got it, man. I thought that was cool.
Anything that wasn't Empire wasn't crossed out. So like the protocol droid wasn't X'd out, whereas the snowtroopers and sandtroopers and all them were.
It gives you that feel for history, right? Stuff's going on here, man. That's what Star Wars has always been so cool about, right?
Absolutely. The atmosphere, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and Mando finds his way to a door where he knocks on it. He's met by a Twi'lek
And, you know, heads on in there looking for Gore Koresh, which is a new character we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm. And we won't see again.
Probably won't see again, although his species has been around.
Cyclops.
He is a Cyclops, an Aspen. Is that how you would say it? From the planet Abyss, Abyss.
Yeah,
sure. And by the way, I'm going to give you, this is a screenshot from A New Hope. That's from the cantina.
Oh, I didn't catch that one.
Check that out.
Fair enough.
And it goes by quickly. So I'm going to show you the clip that it comes from, because it's a fast clip right after Greedo takes out Han. So we all know this scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who shoots first? All that good stuff. Pause it as soon as we see it. So right after that, right there he is.
Wow.
That guy right there.
Oh, okay. That's right on.
That's him on the right. So that is the... And that's what's kind of cool about it, right? So you took, this character you needed, and you modeled him after somebody. His eyes are much different color, but maybe that's the species, the way it works, right?
Yeah, one's from the northern part of the planet, the other one's from the southern part of the planet.
Yeah, exactly. One's got one's got a beard, one doesn't. But
a different planet in system. Who the actor was playing Gore?
I'm not sure. Do you, Ed?
Yeah, John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Oh, that, nice.
I was radical hearing that one. That was really cool.
I had to go look it up because I saw the credits that John Leguizamo is in. I'm like, who the hell did he play?
Gore Koresh.
Yeah.
Which I thought, by the way, when Mando first said Gore Koresh and the guy says, enjoy the fights, I thought that was like a code word to get into the speakeasy, right? You had to say the code word to get in. That's what I thought it was, but it turned out he was looking for somebody.
Gotcha.
Yep.
And we saw some of the guards. And I'm blanking on their names. I should.
Gamorrean.
Gamorrean guards. Thank you, Stan. And they are in much better fighting shape than the ones we remember from the Return of the Jedi.
Just a bit, yeah.
This guy's been eating a lot.
These guys
are ready for battle.
Guys. Yeah, and these are
young. These are young ones. They're the young bucks, you know. Not the...
That could be it too. Yeah,
or it could be that Jabba just prefers people with girth.
Makes it feel better. Yeah.
Okay. These are successful fighters. They made it out of the ring, so they get the next step up. They work for Jabba now. It's easy work.
Oh, maybe that is it. You know what, Ed? I like that explanation.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
It was cool to see him, though.
Yeah, in the battle, right? And inside the battle, there was a fight that goes on, and we don't have to go step by step through the episode, but and Mando takes everybody out because they threatened the child at the time. One of them that he takes out was this guy, which is a Darth Amerian, which is the same species as
Darth Maul.
As Maul.
Right.
Which is kind of cool.
Very cool to mention. The way he takes them all out was with those whistling birds. But when he activates it and Baby Yoda, the child sees it, the child hits the button barrier and sort of closes.
He was in all the previews, and it was great.
Yeah, he knew it was coming, so that I thought that was pretty cool.
The little hover carriage, the one that Quill remade him, the button was on the bottom. Because if you watch in season one, every time he goes to close it, there's a little switch on the bottom he hits. Now, Baby Yoda is able to do this. It could be a two-way switch. But I just thought it was kind of like, I noticed that during the trailer that, hey, that switch wasn't there.
Dan's looking for the misses, man. Yeah. I don't know. We are researching that one for certain.
Yeah.
It could be a different carrier because they made it seem like, and we're going to be getting to this, but they made it seem like some time had passed, because when he does get to Tatooine, the lady at the, you know, that takes care of the ship, acts like it's been a minute since she's seen him.
Yeah,
it's been a while. Yeah,
yeah.
We'll get there, because that's exactly what happens next in the episode, Jimmy, because Mando essentially takes Gore, and he's like, he's looking for another Mandalorian. He's looking for somebody to help him find his way.
Now, where is the Mandalorian you know of?
Tatooine.
What?
The Mando I know of is on Tatooine.
I've spent much time on Tatooine. I've never seen a Mandalorian there.
My information is good, I tell you. The city of Mos Pelgo. I swear it by the Gatra.
Tatooine it is then.
All right, so two things he said there. Mos Pelgo, which was first mentioned in the Old Republic video game back in 2011, and it came up in canon because they redid canon in the novel Aftermath in 2015. So we'll talk about Mos Pelgo in a minute. And he also talks about the Gotra, which there's a lot of speculation out there what that really means, right? Is that the loose real-life translation in Hindu is that it's family. But if you research Gotra in Star Wars, Laurel, you'll find a droid Gotra, which is a group of droids that supported droid rights, which first go back to the Grand Moff Tarkin novel. So I'm not exactly sure where that fits, but I thought it was kind of interesting. And we know he's headed to Tatooine.
Yep.
He's headed to Tatooine. Where did we last see a Mandalorian on Tatooine? I mean, that's all, yeah, you know.
Well, yeah, as soon as he says Tatooine, the first thing you know is, yeah, right. I know a man.
Yeah, he's going for Boba. And we know it.
We thought it's going to be Boba that we're going to see right away. So,
of course, well, yeah.
Interesting. You know, it's interesting because that turns back and forth a little bit. But go ahead.
It does. Now, here's one of my favorite images of the whole thing, which is the Razor Crest arriving at Tatooine. I just think that's so cool. It's like, come on, man.
It is. At all. Just different colors of desert, different types of, like, you know.
Which is crazy, yeah. It's basically rocks and desert, and yeah, it's I love looking at that. And it just brings up all, once you get to Tatooine, just the memories just keep coming. Oh,
feels.
Yeah.
See the Banthas?
The Banthas.
So now, do you think it was all computer, or do you think it was elephants covered up?
That's a great question. In fact, Warner brought up with the kids.
I thought the same thing. I'm thinking there's no way they're using elephants nowadays.
I didn't think they could, but they lumber around just like them. They definitely modeled them after them.
Sure did.
I was trying to see feet underneath the fur at one point and stuff like that to see if it was or not. But great stuff.
Yeah, I
think they're puppets and they're on that. What do they call it? I forgot what they call it. The big stage with
the big stage. I'm with you, Jimmy. I think the head's a puppet of some sort, and they're on that stage, and yeah, everything under him's.
Well, how are they riding him though?
Well, I want to say that the whole bottom of that thing is green screen.
Gotcha.
On the bottom part of him, right? The top of him's there in a puppet format. The bottom of him's green screen, but anyway, you look at it, it's just
all they do is they just move the puppet around a bit and then have the background move, and it gives the illusion of movement.
Yeah.
And you know what? That is one thing I did want to bring up, because in watching the first season, it never occurred to me, wow, how are they doing that? But I find myself now watching the second season and trying to look back to those special effects and see how they did it. And I don't know that I like that I'm doing that.
I agree completely
for what it is.
Right. And this desert scene, I was looking around to see how the TV screens would be and how they're doing the shots. And there has to be times when they film the guys out in the desert and then they have other guys in front of the screens. So they have people on the screens too, I think, at points. But yeah, you're right. It's definitely something I'm looking at now and I don't want to be.
Yeah. And even rewatching season one, there was times when you could see there's a little glitch in the screen. I'll send you a picture of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Playing a video game, there'd be like that's the technology that they're using, right?
It is. It's absolutely it, Jimmy.
Yeah, you can see there's almost like a fold in the corner or something.
Yeah, that's
exactly right. The Razor Crest arrives at Tatooine at Mos Eisley's spaceport. And like Jimmy mentioned before, the first place he lands is with an old friend.
Yeah. I was so excited to see her again.
Yeah. Pelimoto and her droid pit friends who first appeared in Mando Chapter 5. So this is a visit back. And like Jimmy said, she definitely remembers the little guy.
Yeah, but they definitely made it seem like this is not, like, he just wasn't there, like, a few weeks or a month ago. Like, it's been
some time has passed
since he's been there, since the last time he was there.
Yeah, absolutely.
A really interesting thing in here that she tells the droids to not go work on his ship because he doesn't like droids, and
that's right,
and he says, well, you might as well just let him give it a once over. And she's like, oh, well, he likes droids now.
Yeah, what the heck's changed? So if you think about it, from chapter 5 until chapter 8, a lot of times it has past, right? A lot of things happen to Mando, including he's okay with droids all of a sudden.
Well, I think it's because of the IG-11
programming
was reprogrammed and gave his life to give them you know, to blow up the stormtroopers and let them live, changed his opinion a little bit. I think that was the defining moment in his mind. He says, well, maybe they're not all bad.
Right.
And her yelling out, thank the Force, when she sees the child again.
Yeah.
So the Force is still a thing, or is it like a myth, or is it
according to Mando, it's a memory. He doesn't seem to know exactly what Baby Yoda is doing when he uses the Force. So to me, that's kind of an odd thing, but it hasn't been that long since Luke Skywalker, finished it up.
That was one of the things I was going to ask before we went live. And I said, I'm going to hold on to that question. Right. I think it has more to do with the fact that they're out in wild space, not the fact that so much time has passed. They're distant from... They don't see Jedi. They don't see that type of stuff going on.
I have a better answer than that. It's only Luke. So nobody knows the Jedi are back. So it really has still been 20, 25 years or 20, however Luke is, plus the then episode 4 and episode 4, 5, and 6, whatever age Luke is at the end of that, that's been how many years since there's been since Jedi. So what's that, 30-something or something in there? So, yeah. Mando's coming out right after that, so they still have no memory of Jedi. It seems,
but yet she's still using the term "thank the Force."
Yeah, true. Tatooine might be a little different because Tatooine has seen a lot, and it is kind of a not really as much as it supposedly was way back when, but it is kind of a crossroads. So maybe just the terminology would get there. Thank the Force. Who knows?
I just thought it was interesting.
Years after the Battle of Yavin in this.
So we're supposed to be set 5 years after Return of the Jedi. So after the second
Death Star. 9 years after the Battle of Yavin, but 9, 10 years after the Battle of Yavin.
Yeah.
So they're not that far removed from Luke being an adult and using the Force and Darth Vader.
But how many people in the universe knew about Darth Vader and Luke is my big question. Other than us, because we watched the movies and we read the book, I don't think real people like this mechanic, I don't think she would have known who Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader would have been.
Coruscant would have.
They would have known the Emperor and the Empire and the Death Stars. Would they have known the people?
Right, and why would they know Luke Skywalker and Coruscant?
Because you know what I think it is?
Vader and Coruscant.
I think she's a fan like us. Because she sees the baby or the child and she goes, oh, he's still alive. Thank the Force. You know, you want to sell him? She's one of us.
She's kidding, not kidding. That's exactly
right. She's a fan. That's what she is. So she knows all the story.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is good.
The other thing is that when he tells, I don't remember her name, but the head Mandalore, she goes all the way back to stories of the great Mandalore fighting, wizards that could do magic like that. Like she, but that was way before anything more recent. I think it's maybe a combination of both. Some time has passed. And like you said, it was just Luke and Vader basically who were Jedi. But right. I think also you're in wild space. So if you listen to Outer Rim, you're in Outer Rim. So you're distantly far removed from everything that happens in kind of the center of the universe. And some time has passed.
Could the new Obi-Wan series have her appear in it in a younger form?
Yeah, it could be.
And she knows Ben. And
maybe you never know.
Maybe that.
Oh, I love connecting those dots, Ben. Hey, guys,
remember when she said thank the Force?
I love
it. She hung out with Ben on Tatooine for 4 years.
Right. And Kenobi definitely had some stories outside the Luke story on Tatooine.
Yeah, that's right. Definitely. All right, let me keep moving here because this guy here, R5, bring us the map. That's what she yells.
He turned around behind, and he was leaking fluid coolant.
All right, let's look at it, because I got exactly that. I got a clip from A New Hope first. You guys all remember this, of course.
Well, come on, Red, let's go.
Everything changed on the malfunction.
Yeah. There he goes. This one's got a bad motivator.
Yeah.
The motivator.
R2 unit has a bad motivator. Look.
All right. So the motivator, I froze it here, Ed, right to where it blew up. And if we compare it to the freeze they did on R5,
Yeah, he's definitely leaking fluid up there.
It's exactly the same place, because if you go straight up here, one over from where the antenna is, one over from the antenna straight behind, it's that's awesome.
Yep.
You know that Filoni knew what he was doing, and he left it sit out there for people like us to find it and go, look, it's exactly the same droid. Look at that. It's R5.
Man, the guys are like this.
And we do. We love it.
They're all going to see it.
And of course, it's literally not the same droid. It's definitely the same line of droids.
Yes.
We talked about this earlier, but he was also in the first episode. But, I mean, in the first season of Mandalorian, in the cantina. Mm-hmm. But you had to be a little more of a nerd to see him there, because, you know, in this one, she calls him R5, and they kind of like, okay.
This is true. Yeah. That's right. And maybe that's why he did it, right? R5, and yeah.
And Red. Of course, we know where R5 ends up.
R5 ends up in
Batuu. On Galaxy's Edge.
Batuu. It's true. There you go.
Yeah.
With Hondu and Aka, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With Hondu. All right, so, but why... Remember, the reason why Mando went to Tatooine was to find the other Mando, and R5 is who he tracked down. Well, he lands there. She brings over R5 to show him the map.
Waiting. Okay. This is a map of Tatooine before the war. You got Mos Eisley, Mos Espa, and up around this region, Mos Pelgo.
All right, so you got Mos Eisley, Mos Espa. So Mos Espa, the site of, well, pretty much the entire first movie, because that's where Padme went to find a new hyperdrive with Qui-Gon, ended up in Watto's junkyard, led to an exchange for parts for the freedom of young Anakin Skywalker, and basically all of the Phantom Menace took place in that city. So that's kind of cool, including the pod racer, which was at Mos Espa's Grand Arena. So that all ties back together, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Right, look at that massive place on Tatooine, and everything else is rags.
Yeah, and that's, looking at that map, it made me wonder, Ed, where did that track go? How far did that track get to Mos Eisley's? And I was
that could be gone even at this point too. That could be just totally abandoned.
It could be, and then we had Mando's like, all right, I'm going. He heads out on one of the coolest speeder bikes ever.
Until you see the one the marshal is on.
This is true. Yeah. Maybe the coolest part of that is in the back right there, because
little saddlebag. There you got,
that's another
saddlebag. Yeah.
That's another collectible. It's going to be the bike with the child on the back.
The bike with him on the back. And
I think I saw those at the Disney store already.
He's probably already there. Yeah. We find out
with the saddlebag.
The ears flipping in the wind was the best.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yes.
You didn't have the picture of the other bike.
It's coming.
Okay,
it's coming, because we haven't met the marshal yet. And here's him with, talking his sign language with some sand people again, which is kind of cool. I love some of the overheads where there's a Bantha skeleton laying out there. Mm-hmm. In retrospect of size, there's Mos Pelgo, just that tiny little thing.
Did you hear the story about the sand people and speaking, or are we going to talk about that later?
No, let's talk about it now, because I don't have it.
They actually hired a hearing challenged actor to come up with the language they used for those couple scenes they have when they talk to the sand people, where Mando talks to them.
So they made up a sign language kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Because I just remember the.
I think some of the sign languages, I guess, for words that we don't have in the English language, most of the sign language was real, but the voice, the vocal things
were got it
by the guy who was hearing impaired or
that's
deaf.
Cool.
I'm sure if he was deaf. That's cool. Impaired, but
yeah, because a lot of people that are deaf and use sign language, their facial expressions are a big part of it.
Yeah,
sure.
Now with the sand people, they don't have facial expressions, so this is where their grunting would come in.
Yeah, makes sense. I love it.
Cool. I was trying to see if the sand people had different faces too, the way they had those teeth and things like that, for those the breath front, whatever.
I think I got another one picture coming up we can look at. And this is where we got. Those got to be Womp Rats. Nobody said it, but check those things out.
See, I was told those are Scurriers.
They're Scurriers. Maybe they're not Womp Rats.
They're a little small for Womp Rats, I would think.
A baby Womp Rats. It looks like a pig's nose. I don't know what that is, but it's kind of cool looking.
Yeah. I figured they were Womp Rats too, and then somebody corrected me on it and said they were Scurriers.
All right. Okay, I'm good on that. We'll figure that one out. Then, of course, Mando finds his way into the local establishment. and comes face to face with
Boba Fett.
Yeah. And I was kind of annoyed. I wanted Boba Fett to be dead. I thought Dead was dead. I didn't like
it. No, that's not the case.
You never saw him die. And
I know, but
the ways he came out of that.
He literally went into Sarlacc.
Yeah.
Exactly. He went into the pit and he came out the other end.
He came out and went into the Sarlacc's mouth. So I would have said, I would have thought he was dead.
Yeah, you're fully digested over 1,000 years when you go into
Sarlacc. Or just a half a day when he pulled out the grenade and blew a hole in the side of him and got out. Almost like what Mando did to the other thing, but we'll get back to that. Yeah. But clearly this is, nobody says it's Boba Fett's armor, but come on.
Sure it is. It totally is.
Okay. Yeah, you can tell.
The helmet gives it away.
Yeah,
the helmet in the second gives it away. The scratches on the helmet. So that's...
Well, did you see the big dent in it, though?
Yeah, it's right where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right...
Right here.
It's right there.
Well, plus the big emblem on the...
The one on top.
The one on top.
Oh, the one on top. No.
The other side, that's from...
You double-crossed it.
Cool.
It looks like right. A would have hit it.
That's Cod Vanth. And my question was with Boba Fett's armor. And there you go. There's your closer look.
Oh, yeah,
clearly.
There deflected a bolt or something into it, I think is what happened. I was trying to figure out what happened because it's definitely so prominent. And when I went back through it, I'm pretty sure it was Vader deflecting a bolt, deflecting. And I want to say maybe it was when Solo did that in the Empire. The Cloud City, perhaps? I'm not 100% sure when that happened.
Interesting.
Maybe on the Sailbridge.
I thought it was in the Boba Fett comic book series that they said how it
could
happened.
Be.
Oh, okay.
Very well could be. I need to look into that one. So this is your character. This is Cod Vanth after he takes his helmet. And look, as soon as he takes his helmet off, you know he's not a Mandalorian.
I was like, okay, good. It's not Boba.
It's not. No. He's got his armor. We don't know how.
Okay, we'll leave those Star Wars nerds right there taking off people's helmets and stuff. But you get an idea of the show. If you are any way into Star Wars, or if you want to get into Star Wars and figure out what's going on, this is the show for you. Womp Rat Radio. We are kind of broadcasting every about 2 weeks at this point, depending on what happens when more Star Wars things occur. We'll probably go a little bit more often than that. But for now, about every 2 weeks. So definitely tune it in. WompRatRadio.com. Check them out. Check out the Disney Nerds podcast for links over there. You know what, Jimmy? Tell everyone how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions at the Disney Nerds podcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast, and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys, that's it for show number 368 of the Disney Nerds podcast. It's all about Womp Rat Radio. Again, if you've got that Star Wars itch, you want to scratch it, Womp Rat Radio. Thanks again, Sam, Stan, Jimmy, and that guy named Ed. Okay, guys, so that's it for tonight's show. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Mortals pay a